Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio today is my co-host, Dr. Les Ololat, Chancellor of Northern Baptist Bible College. Doc, welcome back.
Well, thanks. It's always refreshing to be here.
I know it's been an exciting time that we've been having together over the last number of broadcasts, and we are talking together about biblical leadership, and in particular, an aspect of biblical leadership that every one of us struggles with in some way or another, whether we have children in a Christian school, or maybe we have a teenager in a youth group, or maybe we have a son or a daughter off at a Christian college or university. Every one of us has had to answer or at least run into the problem of how you deal with policies that we run into that either don't make sense to us immediately or we don't have a chapter and verse for, and somebody's frustrated because they've been restricted by that policy. And you've been kind of helping us to understand why those are there and the function that they have in our life.
Well, the years that we have been in a variety of ministries, in my first ministry was pastoral work, and of course you're learning.
Right.
And then we had 10 years in youth ministry as one third of the ministry in the church in Roseville, Michigan.
And that was in a pretty sizable church too, wasn't it?
Yeah, it grew to quite sizable church. Grew up to about 800, from about 180 at that point.
Yes.
Then through outreaches and God's honoring Dr. Rhodes' faithfulness, and we saw the good hand of God work, but it grew to a sizable work with a lot of teenagers. And
I know somewhere I'd heard one of the people in your youth group say that over 100 people from that youth group over that 10-year period of time had gone out into some kind of Christian ministry.
Yes, they're either on the mission fields or Christian classrooms or pastors or teaching. We have a few here on our staff, but I think it's over 100 from that 10-year period of time.
Right.
That have gone out into full-time work.
What a blessing that must be.
But through those responsibilities, I really had to get down before God and say, God, I don't want to function as a legalist, as legalism is a misnomer in the way it's being used today, but for sake of a better term.
That's what everybody would think of when they use the word.
I don't want to function thinking that rule equals godliness or standard equals godliness or short hair equals godliness. I said, God, I don't want to function that way. But yet at the same time, I don't want to cast off restraint, nor do I want to function under political pressure. What is somebody else going to think if our kids look this way?
Right.
Or, you know. And so I really began seeking the mind of God of how do you biblically apply, because our ministry included parents.
Right.
We had a parent instruction time every week almost.
Wow.
During a regular September through May youth program. I had a parent class every Sunday night. So in the meantime, as we set these policies for trips, as we set these policies for how we were going to function, of who would participate, those who were in choir, we didn't set any guidelines at all for spectators, but we did for participators, and I believe that's biblical.
Yeah, I think you actually made the case from Scripture last time we were together on that.
Paul did not have any guidelines for spectators, but when a man desires the office of a bishop, et cetera, then the guidelines come. Those who desire some type of a leadership role, then they come under guidelines. Say if the coach of University of Wisconsin Badgers went and had every head bowed and every eye closed before a football game, said how many of you drank, how many of you stayed up after midnight, then please leave the stadium. People said, well, what's he doing? No, you don't put guidelines for spectators that you put on your team.
Right.
But if I left the stands and became a member of the Badgers football team, then I would expect to live under the guidelines that Coach Alvarez would have for that football team.
Right.
And that's the analogy where we see in Scripture. Are you in a choir? Are you a youth officer? Are you in a leadership role? Do you have a platform responsibility? Okay, then there's a greater accountability, a greater restraint on you. Again, for the bigger cause.
Yeah, because God's given you greater responsibility.
But through this, I was challenged. Where's your chapter and verse for some of the things that we did? So consequently, in burning through these issues, then we went on the road in revival ministries with Life Action Ministries for a number of years. And in that setting, we were in a different church. Every 2 weeks, we were in different standards with different personal convictions, with different cultural settings. Whether it's in Mexico or Canada, or whether it is in southern United States, whether it's in northern United States. Well, we had to come up with policies as we traveled as a family. And obviously, the Life Action Ministries had policies that were there from training camp onward of how we would function. There were not chapter and verse for all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And so through this, all of this material, I began thinking, how do you explain the parents? How do you explain the kids? How do you explain the teenagers? And this is really where these things came out of many, many years ago. And so the question we want to answer today as we close out this particular series is, how do you justify an institution, a relative?
Yeah, where do you go to get that relative? How do you form it?
Yeah. So we've seen our mission, the purpose drives our policy.
Okay.
Now, policy is in twofold. It's absolute, which is clearly spelled out in Scripture. The other is relative. The relative policy is supported by Bible principle.
Okay.
For example, if I were to talk to a freshman and his parents at the beginning of school, and the parents were to come up and say, well, where do you get the Bible, because our son is asking, where do you get the Bible base that he has to sign off campus and to be with another student as a freshman to go into town?
Mm-hmm.
And he really wants to know, where do you get the Bible base for that? Well, number one, there's the principle of authority. That's all the way back to Genesis chapter 2.
Right.
You go back to, I am functioning under authority. And the purpose of discipline ultimately, and the purpose of rules ultimately, is to prepare me for the lordship of Jesus Christ in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And what God was preparing Adam for was the bigger responsibility in life. And I said, so, okay, that's the principle of authority. There's no chapter and verse, but the handbook says that, and this is why we do this. There's the principle of authority. For example, let's suppose an institution had a hair standard.
Yeah.
For guys.
Yeah. Like how short is short or how long is long.
And how long is long biblically? How would you find what is long biblically? And so you would say, well, okay, there was Samson and then there was Korah.
And then
the old bald one. And the kids that got killed making fun of a bald-headed guy. So you had both extremes in this scripture. So I say, well, you know how long is here? Long is as long as the handbook says long is.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean when you're away from here, if you don't have that standard, that you are sinning. That's where we would make a mistake. If we made the implication that the standard we set here as an institution for the big picture is equal to not sinning if you do it, sinning if you violate this in your personal life when you're not connected with this institution.
Right.
There is the principle of control. A good question. Why have the large city public schools, in many cases, gone to dress standards and in some cases uniforms?
And you know, that's still true. I mean, we just had an issue with that here in our own city.
Yes, and why is that? Why have they chosen to do that in these large public city schools?
I would assume the answer is control, keeping everybody looking the same and moving in the same direction.
Yeah, because people act the way they dress. Dress is a portable environment.
Yeah, that's a great
one. I remember when I got my first gun and holster set. I tell people, Sean Ing got me a set for our 40th anniversary. But that's not really true. When I was a kid, real small, I got my gun and holster set. And I forget whether it was the Gene Autry or whichever one it was, but I'll guarantee you, boy, my shoulders were back, my head was no longer down, and I was walking with a strut because I was acting the way I was dressed.
Right.
And when people go and there is no dress standard, then people act the way they dress.
Mm-hmm.
And so consequently, you for dress standards, for example, we say, is it modest? That's the absolute.
Right.
Do I practice deference to refer to another's conscience in it? And is it appropriate? And so you have to define, okay, now what's appropriate for classroom attire? The most appropriate thing is what is going to keep me most controlled. Mm-hmm. When I'm in an academic setting, it makes sense that you don't dress too casually.
Right.
That is, I sit in a more disciplined setting.
You're trying to get your mission done.
Now, I'm not talking about secular institutions that would say, boy, that makes sense to me. But for some reason, these large public schools have realized you have much better classroom control when kids are dressed accordingly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's debatable. You have that aspect. How do you justify some of these other things?
So you have the principle of order or authority and the principle of control.
Yeah, protection.
Okay.
For example, say a mother, both orderliness and protection. Let's say a mother called our institution and said, I'd like to talk to my daughter Sue. And if our switchboard operator said, what do you think we do, follow Sue around all day? Oh, no, that's not orderliness.
Right.
Say, have you called her room? Right, no answer there. Her cell must be off, but I need to talk with her. And so one moment, I'll check the class list. No, she's not in class. Let me check the sign-out list. Yes, she and two other girls signed out at 5:30, and they are going to be in town till 8:30. They're going to Walmart and Pizza Hut for supper and be back on campus 8:30. Okay, that's settling for that mother. There's no chapter mm-hmm. and verse for that.
Right.
But it's the principle of control. It's the principle of orderliness. And in many cases, it's the principle of protection. So that you don't send these kids out, especially in this generation.
Right.
When people are getting kidnapped and raped, we feel that responsibility as as an institution to function as parents in that case. You have ownership. Remind myself who owns me. Principle mm-hmm. of identification. Why do we stay away from certain types of dress?
Because we don't want to be identified with that.
We don't
want
to be identified with mm-hmm. a movement. If we're going to really give a picture of what God is like, deference, I defer to another's conscience. We talked about the principle of being dead to self mm-hmm. in the last thing. Principle of discipline. But I think greatest of all is the principle of love, which we are going to cover in another broadcast, mm-hmm. and how do you deal with differences.
Mm-hmm.
People who don't agree, but yet they're believers, they're functioning within a certain area. How do you get along with people who do not agree with you on a particular application of a standard?
Mm-hmm.
And Paul mm-hmm. very clearly addresses this, which we are going to cover in another one or two broadcasts, of how do you deal with differences.
Let me ask you this question as we kind of wrap this up, because I think all of this makes sense to us. You know, we have these policies and they come out of biblical principles. How do we keep them from being applied legalistically? To use the word loosely, as we've been doing in our broadcasts. I mean, that seems to me to be the hard thing. We need the policies. How do we keep them from becoming legalistic in our minds?
Well, we see purpose for standard. Purpose for standard is fulfillment of mission, mm-hmm. not a standard equals godliness.
Mm-hmm.
We would be wrong if we implied a standard equals godliness, because many times separation becomes a badge instead of a button. A badge makes a major statement.
Right. And on that note, Doc, we're going to have to wrap the broadcast up today, and with it, the series on biblical leadership entitled Understanding Our Mission, Dealing with Policies. And I know that our listeners are going to want to get a copy of the broadcasts. And you can do so by contacting the information at the website that is given here in just a few moments. Until our next broadcast, may the Lord bless you.